Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, welcome to the show. It's me, it's Nikki Glaser. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Today, let's just get right to it. We have a special guest. We never have guests on the show. You know that. Regularly with us is Anya Marina, Brian Frangie, Noah. But also with us today is one of my favorite people, comedian, podcaster, also on the Big Money Players Podcast Network with his new podcast called Bombing with Eric Andre. It's Eric Andre.
How you doing, Booster?
Hi,
what are you
Eric?
Doing in St. Louis? Nikki.
I know. Don't tell
no,
people.
But what
I'm
are you,
here,
what
no
are you doing
knows.
Out there? Who are you hiding from? You were like, nobody knows I'm out here.
You know,
what
because,
does that mean?
Well, it's because the
let's
industry
unpack
thinks
that.
You, well, I'm let's unpack it because the industry, if they think that you're not in LA or New York, like you won't get as much work, that something happened to you, that you've given up in some way. And so everyone in LA thinks I'm in New York and everyone in New York thinks I'm in LA. I kind of like to keep it that way. And I'm doing like the Nate Bargatze thing, I guess. He's the only, the Chappelle thing where you just like live somewhere else and you have like a normal life outside of this biz. And
wait, you want to be, you want a healthy life? You want a healthy, fulfilled life?
It's hard.
What are you, nuts? You picked a life in comedy, dude. That's
it's
behind
really hard.
You.
I was just in couples therapy today talking about my boyfriend. You
have a boyfriend?
Yeah. So he lives here and we've been together forever.
How long? Really?
Well, off and on for 10 years.
Isn't your stand-up like, yeah, whatever, I fuck whoever, I fucking do whatever the fuck I want?
You haven't seen a special for a while, but yeah, no, actually, that is kind of what my stand-up's about. You're not wrong. It is like...
What does your boyfriend feel about your set? You're like, I just fucked this guy right before I got on stage. Fuck you.
He's that guy, Eric.
Jordan, whatever his name is.
Yeah, no, he's okay with all my past stuff. He's very comfortable. It's hard to find someone who's secure enough to listen to me say all this stuff. And then the stuff I talk about us always is I present it as my ex-boyfriend so that he's not implicated, but it's also true because we've broken up a bunch, so he is my ex. But we were just in couples therapy, and the thing that he brought up for us to talk about, which was our biggest fight last week, was he brought up, hey, you're taping a special coming up, you've got a huge tour and everything, let's talk about where you should go on vacation at the end of the special. And I started almost crying and saying I don't want to go on vacation, vacations don't make me comfortable, I don't know even how to do them, and we're fighting about how I don't like to relax. And so yeah, you're right, being a comedian takes a certain type of you have to be sick in the head. That's what I was crying about in therapy, is that I don't want to go on vacation with my
you don't like vacation.
No, because I feel guilty that I'm not getting anything done, and I feel indulgent. I feel like the fact that we get to do what we do is already such a gift. Like, I get paid much money to be an idiot on stage.
This is what I'll say to you that will help me, because I go through that too.
Okay, I had a feeling.
I actually think that your vacation is more productive for your work and your creativity and your writing than not going on vacation. Stepping away from the pen and the pad or whatever you use to write.
I would say that you would be
filled with inspiration. You take your boyfriend to Greece, get a little
but then we have
fucking
to, like, go to.
What's the last vacation you did, Eric?
I just did 2 months. I did a month in Africa and a month in
Africa?
Europe.
Africa? It's the longest. What'd you do?
Yeah, it's the longest vacation I ever did. I did Morocco, Ghana, and these two little equatorial islands called Sao Tome and Principe.
Oh, yeah.
And do you feel amazing? Do you feel refreshed?
Feel amazing.
Do you have new material? Do you feel have new inspiration?
New inspiration, feel refreshed, no new material. I don't really do stand-up anymore.
Did you? This is all
don't
I
listen
want
to me,
for
actually.
You.
Maybe you're, this is why you have 10
you
Netflix specials.
Special.
And I had one that
did
three,
you buy
three
any good Moroccan rugs?
Hold on. No, this
I did.
Is what
I bought
I need
a great
to know.
Moroccan rug.
Eric, the reason that you, like, I'm obsessed with your special, your Netflix special from, I forget what it was. I watched it during COVID. Was it 2020?
It was from 1993.
You say in the special that it's 2006 as a joke. And my boyfriend and I were watching it the other night so I could have a little refresher. And he was like, was this shot? And I was like, no, this was, but it was, because at some point it does
people.
Seem the same. But no, your special is so funny. The bit that I love more than anything, and I have played it for so many people, including Brian, who, this was before we even knew you were coming on the show. And I was like, we were hanging out a lot recently. And I go, we need to watch the best people's the best jokes of people. So I was like, you need to see this little trinket that Eric got from Cuba.
Oh yeah, that's the
oh yeah
that thing. Yeah. This thing you picked up
see,
at
vacation.
A novelty shop. Like I guess you just picked it up at a little
you know they have all those tchotchke stores where they're selling tourists.
Yeah.
They're selling gringos dumb stuff. It's like,
yeah.
My friend always says about that stuff when you get like a little snow globe and a little tchotchke that says like the country you're. My friend just takes that, he picks it up and he goes, this goes in a landfill and this goes in a landfill and this doesn't biodegrade and this doesn't biodegrade.
That's all I see That's when I go to Targets stuff. Is just all of this is going to be in a landfill. Just look at the just thousands of products and within 2 years, most of it landfill. It's insane. But that inspired one of my favorite bits ever. If you want to find it, it's about halfway through Eric's special called Legalize Everything, and it's on Netflix, and he's holding up this, I don't know, there's like dangling spoons from it. You'll see it when you get to it.
It's like, one of I'm those not... like wooden kitchen tchotchkes that your grandma has. It's like, life's a beach or whatever.
Yeah.
Live, laugh, love, and wine. It's like one of those.
It inspired one of my favorite bits of all time in a special. And then you go, your special's just packed to the brim with amazing stuff. And I loved it so much. So,
thank you.
But now you're doing a podcast about bombing on stage, which I've really never seen you do. But because
I did it the other day at the Slipper Room in New York.
Is you? Oh God, yeah, that room.
What happened?
Were you doing what's his name show?
No, I was doing my friend Sandy's show, and I just I'm like, I gotta get back on the horse and try new stuff. And then like I did, and I bombed. And I was like, no, I don't. Stand up's annoying.
Yeah, it is.
You're like a Terminator, dude. You're so good at it. You write so much. You have so many like logged hours, so much killer material. You're a crusher.
Thank you,
Eric. I don't
know
where you get the fucking energy. It's so fucking exhausting.
My initials are NRG. So it starts with that. But
that's what I thought it was.
The energy comes from feeling like it's, I think it's the only thing that I've ever been good at. And so I better just keep doing it. And also
you're
knowing
really
that
good.
10,000 hours gets you to an expert level. So whether you're good at it or not, like if you just keep doing it, it's like going to the gym, like you'll build the muscle.
Is.
Like
it is an exercise.
It's, you know, and I don't write off stage. Are you someone that like sits down with, what's your writing process, I guess is the worst question.
It's always
to ask
like,
someone,
it's always magic and alchemy to me. I never really have like a, like people are like, you know, you hear Seinfeld, like, I write 4 hours in the morning. But, like, I need to, this is what I do. I have, like, a wisp of an idea or something I'm mad about or something, and I'll put it in a voice memo, and it's not funny yet.
Yeah.
And I'll say it over and over again. I'll listen back to the voice memo, kind of add to it, but it's not funny there. Then I have to get on stage and do it, and it usually tanks. And then I have to either just, like, put my tail between my legs and completely give up on it, or I go, no, there's something there. And then you kind of keep beating it like all these different directions, and then there's like a magic that comes from the pressure of the audience looking at you, and then it like kind of like galvanizes on stage.
God, that's
like,
so
that's
true.
What it is.
There's
that's
that pressure. There's that moment where that you start to feel them doubt you, and it's do or die, and you're like, it's like the strength that women summon when they pull a car off their child or whatever. Like I just have those moments where I will make this work. Something is going to happen to get this so that I don't because everyone's so nervous for me, I can't let them down. I have to be a hero in this moment. And something happens.
It's that pressure. It's that awkwardness where
you need
like,
the pressure. I don't get anything done without pressure. No. I don't get
you need deadlines,
anything
you need pressure.
Done. I write so many jokes on my way to shows while I'm walking on stage. Like it has to be, there has to be some kind of accountability. What were
and
we
now
gonna
you're
say?
On now you're on the set of Kids Incorporated. You're on the set of Double Dare. You know what I'm talking about. You know the pressure.
If you don't know, my studio does look like the coloring of Double Dare.
Clarissa explains it all. I'm familiar.
Listen, 90s throwback was in when we designed the studio, and it's a little passe at this point.
And you're plugging your own show with your hat.
Yeah,
you got like
man.
Merch from your...
Oh my God,
merch.
It matches too. Yeah.
F-Boy Island, baby, coming out October 16th.
Why don't you get me on F-Boy Island?
Oh my God, I would love to have you on that. Are you single right now?
Why don't I just do... what? I'm single right now, and I would go on there, but don't have any contestants that would recognize me, which will be easy, but like, I want to go in there and be like a fucking crazy person.
I would fucking love
a total
it so much.
I mean, that's just me being regular, but like, I want to go on, can I go on like one episode? You can eliminate me after one episode.
Immediately. First episode.
You
can
eliminate me immediately, but I want to be like a maniac.
I would love that so much. I was going to say, if you came on, like, the show is mainly about what?
I want to like eat peanut butter with my hand while I walk up there. And I'll be like, all right, who's ovulating?
Your confidence alone would be attractive. That's what I found on these shows is that nothing else matters except that. Eating peanut butter with your fingers and asking who's ovulating. Like, that's just a guy who doesn't give a fuck. And these, you know, mainly on the show, it's
if you're
like,
trying to get eliminated,
it's a bunch of
that's
people.
Not what you should do.
Oh yeah, maybe getting eliminated would weirdly. It's kind of like the first time when Trump won, he like wasn't trying to win the presidency. He was just like, "Hey, I'm doing promotion for my new whatever, my new steaks or whatever." And then he won. He was like, "Shit!" It'd be like that where I'd be like eating peanut butter with my fingers.
You'd be in the elimination. Dick
queefing.
Girls love it. I mean, yeah. If you wanted to get eliminated, you just come in and like kind of nervously say, "You look beautiful, ladies," and like shake their hand respectfully, and then you're fucking out. No one needs
lame.
That.
Lame. Boring. Yawn.
Are you worried at all that like if I did a show that was had a theme, like a podcast with a theme, I'd be worried I like would run out of stories. Is that a worry of yours? Is that why?
Oh,
you're getting
I ran
back
out
there?
Of I ran out of gas long time ago. Halfway through, I'm like, oh yeah, somebody threw a bottle at you. Okay, whatever. Next.
I mean, then it becomes a show about just bombing in life because I think bombing.
Well, yeah, that's
is,
what it is. It's about failure. It's not about just bombing on stage. It's about like failure. And I always open it up to like bombing, like just any the worst job you ever had, the worst day job you ever have. It's just like just the failures and trials and tribulations of life. Rather
doesn't
than
it
just
suck
bombing.
That like. We always get to a point in life where you think that all of your failures are behind you and you're grateful for them because they led you here. But like, we all have to like, we're all going to trip at some point in our lives coming up soon. And it's going to be really embarrassing and you're going to fall on the ground. Like I always think about how I have a bunch of trip and falls or like dropping things on my toe or like things. It's never going to stop. Life is going to keep throwing bullshit at you and I'm going to keep bombing. Like bombing's the worst feeling in the world and I will keep doing it. The rest of my career. It will never stop for me. There will be times on stage where it's so awkward where I will question everything and want to cry when I get off stage. And I know that's in my future. It's going to probably happen this week on tour.
The last thing you do is you bomb. You're dying is like really embarrassing.
Oh, Jesus.
Like the last thing you do
before
you
die. Death is your final bomb.
Is just so, you go, or you go, oh my God. Like that's like the most embarrassing you'll ever be.
Yeah. And then you poop your pants.
And then you shit your pants.
Yeah, you shit.
Don't you? Like, does everyone do that?
Everything stops. Yeah,
you
piss.
Blow.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
You just look like, oh, God. No one's
like
hot dying.
Nikki's concern is gaining weight. You bloat.
It really is.
You gain 5 pounds.
You're diuretic so right tight. Before.
When they draw the chalk outline, it's like half an inch bigger than if they would have gotten it 2 seconds before. That's so true. The one death that looks like so hot, though, did you ever see the one of the woman in like the 20s who threw herself off a building and she falls on this car and she falls in like a beautiful way? You should look it up. She looked so hot.
That's not footage. I don't want to see that.
I like morbid stuff like that.
Nikki has watched all 9/11 footage. She's obsessed with Columbine. She's seen every corpse.
Oh, so you have a morbid fascination.
I don't watch like beheadings. I don't watch. I don't like watching people
die. Where you draw the line.
Even your show, I have had struggles watching because I don't like people even fake getting hurt or punched or like falling.
What are you talking about? You're into Columbine and 9/11.
It already happened, and I don't want to watch footage from it because there is no footage. That's what makes it like creepy. And then 9/11, there's barely any footage from that. You know, like
there's a good amount.
There's not, but you don't see people like actually hitting the ground and stuff. You know what I mean? It's all
Do you know they're remaking 9/11 with all female terrorists?
It should have done it a while ago. It's about time.
Time's up.
It's Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones is the star. Can you imagine?
What have you been up to, Eric, besides the pod? So you're getting back on the road.
I went on a 2-month vacation. Monday, I'm going to Peru to do ayahuasca and climb Machu Picchu. And then I go right from Peru to Kansas City to start the tour.
Oh, no.
That's a great segue.
Wait a second. As people call it, Aya. I realize that's what they call it.
Aya.
You've done it before, I'm guessing.
Never done it. Never done it once.
No way. I haven't either. Are you scared, nervous, excited? Yeah.
All the above.
What do you want? What's your intention going in?
The usual.
Yeah, clear some stuff out. Look in some rooms in your brain you haven't seen before.
Yeah,
exactly. Heal. Closure.
You get it. Yeah.
Heal. Okay. I'm into that. Yeah, I'm scared.
Is vomiting a guarantee?
Yeah, you purge. It's not a guarantee.
So I'm going to come out a little thinner. Sign me up.
Most people have told me, they go, I lost 5 to 10 pounds.
Because
you're vomiting so much.
Look at me.
Yeah. Okay, and your inner child.
Nikki's I'm coming with you. We film a road trip movie.
Are you going with friends or are you going to do this solo?
Solo. I know no one.
Wow.
I'm going in a group of strangers. Yep.
Oh, my God. And are you worried you'll be recognized, or does that even cross your mind?
No. I'm not worried about that. I don't think it's that kind of crowd. Okay. I don't think it's my crowd.
Do you do Burning Man?
I was actually going to do it this year. I always said, I was like, nothing sounds appealing about it. It's hard to get to. You got to build shit. Mm. Yawn. And
I know.
Then like barter. I'm like, huh? There's rules. Nothing sounded appealing. But this year I was like, I got to go. I'm going to do it. And then I couldn't. I had work and I couldn't figure it out.
I get it.
I'll do it. I'll do it just for the experience. Even if I don't like it, I'll do it for the experience. And I'll do like the bougiest version. I will do the most suburban wuss fucking
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I'll do
you seem like someone who wouldn't do the bougiest version.
No. Burning Man, I'm not gonna be, I'm sleeping on the ground and I'm gonna shit in a hole and pick it up with my hand.
I will say one thing about you. We met, I don't know, probably 15 years ago or something.
In a chat
probably
room.
Longer than that.
Chat roulette specifically.
I forget. I mean, I guess we met through Amy through Schumer. And you've always been so nice to me, and you had fame before I ever touched it, and you were still nice to me.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, you started rising up.
I feel like we were on the same.
Maybe we were kind of maybe on the same thing, but I don't know. I always just kind of assumed you were ahead of me in the game, but you were just one person that was always so nice to me, and you still. We haven't hung out. I haven't seen you in person. I can't even remember the last time. But you still send me invites to your birthday parties and stuff like that. And I'm wondering.
And you never come.
I've never once been able to go, but I always want to. And I'm always so touched. So please never stop sending those. I just wonder, how are you just spending a whole day going through your phone just sending? How do you go about inviting people to your party? Because if I'm getting an invite, there's thousands that are getting invites.
I know. My birthday's April 4th. And I know the last week of March, I carve out time. So I plan my birthday for about 4 to 5 months.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a last week where, and I've done it almost like a ritual for 12 years, where I text I don't do a single group text.
No.
And I text everyone individually in my phone.
It's incredible.
That they know it's sincere. And it is
it's
psychotic.
Sincere.
It's psychotic, really, but it's nice. The way I started doing it, and I just got into the rhythm of doing it.
Is this like a huge birthday party? 4 to 5 months of planning.
Yeah, crazy, crazy birthday party. I used to be broke, and I used to live in a little shithole apartment in Hollywood. And then when I started getting money, I started wasting it on my birthday party. And I would get like camels and donkeys. I lived in a tiny studio. I would get all these crazy exotic animals into my apartment and into the parking lot. And we would like do all these drugs. We would huff ether. We would light off firecrackers. We would have like crazy nudists come by and all these like noise bands. And and it's grown from there. And this year was my big 4-0,
and I did like a crazy.
Yeah, now it's like
yeah,
a
now
festival.
It's Burning Man. Yeah, now it's like Gathering of the Juggalos.
Wait, what are you looking for in a partner? Because I'm
wait. Well, let's figure that out when we come back from break.
Okay,
let's get. But that's a cliffhanger.
I think of the woman.
That's a great, great question. We'll find out right when we get back from break.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, we're back. Eric.
I did not expect that. Yes.
Eric, what are you looking back. For in a what are you looking for in a partner? Anya does ask a great question.
The usual polyamorous atheist with like big old titties and a big ass booty.
Okay.
Are you really looking for someone poly? Are you into that lifestyle? Have you tried it before?
I am looking for somebody. I used to not really date with purpose. I never really cared about long-term relationships until recently, very recently. And I would say that I am looking for someone. It's all hack and cliche what I'm about to say. I'm going to say someone with a sense of humor and somebody who's a critical thinker. But sense of humor, I realized it all trickles down from there. Schumer said to me, she goes, you need somebody that has the ability to finish your jokes for you and with you. And I was like, that's totally true. Because sense of humor, if you guys can lock in on that, it tells you about the person's worldview, about their like ethics, about their personality. It really is the top ingredient, because it informs all the other ingredients.
That's so true.
It is true. And it's like, and it's not just about
Brazilian or Filipino.
I was gonna ask, what part of the world should we pick this person out from?
Yeah,
to the bone.
It's so cliche to say sense of humor, and I think I roll my eyes when men say that most of the time because I had a bit about it in my act about how, and it was true, they did studies that say men and women both look for sense of humor in the opposite sex. That's the number one thing they say they look for. But women and men define sense of humor differently. Women define sense of humor in a man as someone who makes them laugh, and men define sense of humor in a woman as a woman who laughs at their jokes. So it's like, oof, it's just but it doesn't sound like that's what you mean. But it can be, as long as they get your jokes,
it should be both. It should be like at your jokes, but also joke together and be able to like add to each other's jokes.
Mm. Yes.
It tells you about everything. It tells you about their personality, their worldview. So when you get back to the poly thing, I would think that, critical thinkers.
You want to date an improv troupe.
I want to date an improv
troupe. A Filipino improv troupe.
No, I think it's like I want somebody who looks at the institutions of the world and challenges the institutions of the world. Whether we like decide to act on each experiment with each institution, some institutions are there. So there's no absolutes in nature. Some have their reasons. They're typically sexist and homophobic and racist, mm-hmm. but like most institutions of the world are tools of control. So, you know, marriage was based on a property transaction. So I mm-hmm. think that just having somebody who is smart means they have a sense of humor. If they're smart, they're going to share a worldview with me where we look at each institution and really question it, like, is there, like, are we just following biological protocol? Should we rise above biological protocol? Should we, a lot of institutions of old are from Abrahamic religions, and they're just trying to control you and control your happiness and your spirit and your.
Is that hard to find someone that's like, because I'm already like, my brain is like, I'm thinking of so many girls I've met that are so much like you, but then they might not check every box, but they're like, check, poly, funny, big titties, not Brazilian.
Big titties, but loose you, pussy.
But yeah.
Diarrhea, maybe, often.
Maybe not a...
I'm sorry. Nikki's edgy, so I try to like keep up with the edge, but I don't know the rest of you, so like I feel like
diarrhea is cool.
Canceled.
Yeah, yeah. Turned to diarrhea.
I try to be like, I'm still edgy too. You're not the only one. And then you guys are like, dude,
no one questions
inappropriate.
No, you had us at penis queef.
Okay, great. Good.
What was
but
your
is
question?
That hard to find a woman who's like funny and hot and like Polly and like
they're not on Raya.
Yeah, I think
intelligent. And deep.
I mean, yeah, I think that like there's no such thing as like Dan Savage has this quote. He goes, "There's no such thing as the one. There's the at best the 0.65, and you round that motherfucker up to one."
That's so true.
That was fucking perfect. Nobody is. Everybody's annoying eventually. I'm fucking annoying. Everybody's annoying eventually.
Yep.
And everybody, you get like close, but nobody checks every single box.
Dude,
I don't even know
so
if that's
true.
What it's about. Like,
no, but we
everybody's going to get on your nerves. Don't. Yeah.
About like me and my girlfriends read this book about, you know, how to attract a man and how to like just kind of teaching you how to settle, because what you're saying is we're always looking for the one, and it's like, stop that. There's no one. And it's, I think the percentage that we always talk about with Noah and Anya and I is if they're 51% good, like that's how little, because then keep them, because it's so hard to find someone that is even that. And I think that's true. It's like just, I have a bit about, I hate to keep quoting my own fucking stupid act, but like people say you should never settle, but that's what we all have to do eventually. You can't just keep looking forever, because you're eventually going to get to a place where like no one really wants you if you keep waiting. And we don't ever have to settle, because there are so many options all the time. Do you
feel
like you're someone
that
like
there's too many options?
And the poly thing, man, I'm on board with it too. Like there are two people, Brian and Anya just got married this summer, and Noah's engaged.
Not to each other.
And not
to each other.
Yeah, but they're already in separate cities
or on different coasts.
But it's like I tried, I'm always like supportive when my friends start doing this, and I have a lot of friends that are starting to have kids, and I suspect that they're all having kids because they're just kind of bored, and that's just the next thing you do. As mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get at the meat of like, why do you actually want a kid? Is it because you actually, this is the first I'm hearing you want one, is in the last year, and it has nothing to do with the fact that you might be kind of bored, or like, I'm suspecting those things. I'm learning that there is much more to it than that. But marriage, for instance, like, I just, I also am, I'm of the same mind as you about that. And I look at, and I don't talk about this a lot on my podcast, but you kind of brought up something about just the poly lifestyle. I think that I'm more into that than most people are, because I don't look at, if my boyfriend does not take me up on this, but I'm open to him having sexual relations with other people, because I don't, and he's not open to me doing
it.
So it's not
boyfriend.
A two-way street.
That's what
you could if you wanted to.
He comes out from underneath my table, like, wiping his mouth.
I was like, "You were just here, babe." Yeah, it's because I look at sex kind of like I don't know. And people sure. are like, "How could he ever?" I mean, sometimes.
Sorry,
but I just look at it like, if he were to eat someone else's food, like, I cook you dinner every night and you're going to get some food cooked by another woman. Like, I just don't see yeah. it as long as I'm not going to get a disease from what he does.
Right.
I just don't have it. I'm not trying to be a cool girl. I'm not trying to make people feel bad about monogamy. I just don't care. And
yeah,
and
yeah. That's how I always feel. But I'm in the minority. We're in the minority. I think that, people equate love with sexual exclusivity, and I think
yes.
finding a partner and building a relationship is about building a life together and a home together, not about sexual long-term sexual exclusivity. I think long-term
so
sexual exclusivity is unnatural, and we're not built to do it, but it's so beat into us societally that people are encouraged to give into their jealousy instead of like turning down their jealousy. And jealousy is a selfish emotion. It's a natural emotion. We mm-hmm. all experience it. And it is, and I don't know, but you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know what the answer is either, but I think it's a lot of pressure to be someone's sole sexual partner forever. I think maybe that's why I'm into it. Cause I'm like, this is a lot of, I've said it before.
I think it relieves
here, like,
the pressure. I think it relieves whatever you want to call it, polyamory or being monogamous or whatever, relieves the pressure in a long term. If you've I've been talking like 10, 20 years. I think you have to establish a trust. I think you have to establish a foundation of trust, mm-hmm. and you have to have a best friendship. And then once you've kind of, I don't know.
Why do we get to have multiple children?
Multiple,
why do we get to have multiple friends? Why do we get to every other part of our life where we have love in it? We get to have so many different ways to fulfill that. But when it comes to a relationship, it's one and done, and they're supposed to be everything for you. And if they aren't, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
That's, I don't get that. Like my best.
It's a bullshit thing. It was a sexist thing. So basically, to quote Dan Savage again, who's like, the
please do. I love him.
He said that men have never been monogamous for all of recorded human history. They've had whatever, prostitutes and concubines, and then they fucked their assistants and all that shit, fucked their secretary. And then 60 years ago, when marriages became egalitarian relationships, instead of giving women the same freedom men always had, we gave men the same limitations women always had. And that's why the majority of marriages end in divorce, and the average marriage lasts 2 to 3 years, and yada, yada, yada. So instead of... And we equate...
Because women didn't want to go out and fuck as much? Is that it? Like, why didn't it go the other way? Men were too jealous to handle that? They wanted
sexism.
It for themselves?
It's sexism. Yeah. Women were property. Like, a dowry. A guy would pay, like, the woman's father a dowry, and he would, like, inherit, like, half his farm and shit like that.
It still is that way with weddings. Like, why did my dad
have to pay
for our wedding? Or he
because
paid
Matt's
a lot.
Dad is dead.
Is that true? But it's all sexism. It's like
it is.
It's because we've treated women like property. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And so, oh, thank you for passing, like the dad passing the daughter off to the husband as a wedding ritual now. Is like, weird.
It's weird.
Creepy. Well, it's sexist.
I saw
like,
TikTok the other day of this dad dancing with his little daughter. And it was like an adorable moment. She's like three and he's spinning around. She's like, daddy, daddy. And the whole thing was captioned and he put it out there. I can't wait to play this on her wedding day. It was like everything in this little girl's life is leading to her wedding day. Like, why are we even referencing that? Like, and you know, he's going to be one of those dads. It's like, well, you got to get through me to get to her. Like, it's just, it's gross. That we are all set up to have to get married. People talk about it as soon as women start planning their weddings and being prepared to be mothers as children. And it's just, I remember being a child and feeling like this pressure, like, oh God, someday I got to be a mom and a wife. Like, I'm going to have to do that. And just being like, I don't want to get fucked by men. You know, like, it was just like, ugh, there was this, felt this weight and this pressure even back then. And I think that's probably why I've rebelled against it for so long. Cause it just felt like, I don't like being told what to do. And maybe that's keeping me from pursuing marriage or pursuing children because I'm trying to rebel against it. It might be something I really like and I'm just trying to be obstinate. I don't really know the answer, but I can't imagine. I'm so scared that someone's telling me I can't fuck anyone the rest of my life, even though I'm not I don't want to fuck anyone else. Like, I'm happy with my boyfriend. I don't want to be told I can't.
Yeah. It's the principle of being like, you can only have Pepsi the rest of your life. You can never have a Coke or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know,
awful.
Better metaphor out there, but
no, it's a pretty good one.
But thank
disgusting.
You very much.
You'll figure this all out in Peru.
Figure it all out in Peru.
you'll puke this all out into a bucket and then you'll see it in your bucket of puke.
Do you have
the answers.
Existential fears that you're trying to resolve with ayahuasca?
Oh,
I don't want to go into it too academically. Mm. So I don't want to be like, I have my list of existential fears and I have to.
That's what I would do.
You can't think your way out. You got to feel your way out. So I want to go in with not too much. I'm even was like a bit reluctant to talk about it here just because I don't want the pressure of being like, okay, I got to figure this out and that out. I just want to kind of like,
have you ever been to Machu Picchu?
It as it come. I've never been to Peru.
Do you hike a lot? Because you didn't like Burning Man camping. Do you hike? Because isn't Machu Picchu like a pretty significant hike?
I wouldn't say hiking Machu Picchu is like camping at Burning Man. I'd say that is a false equivalent.
But is it an outdoor? It's a pretty big hike.
It's a significant hike is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got a tour guide and all that.
Okay. You got some new boots, things like that.
Is it a bougie trip to Peru?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Have you done DMT?
Oh, it's a little bougie. I did Toad Venom, which is a DMT derivative, 5-MeO-DMT.
Was that bad? Have your trips been? I've never tripped, and I really want to, and I'm terrified of it. But have you had bad trips though? And was it like the worst thing ever?
Have.
Okay.
No. The only bad. The only thing that gives me a bad trip is edible weed.
Yeah.
I cannot do.
Boo.
Mushrooms are the best. I've only had good times on acid, mushrooms, Toad Venom.
Yeah. Do you go to therapy?
Constantly.
Me too. So good. Did you start like,
to
late?
The point,
or
to the point where I think my therapist is like sick of me. They're like, I don't know, man. Just like
figure
get
it out.
Sleep.
Yeah, it's a never ending process, and I think that's the compulsion to go on stage is to like or to work all the time is just not having to be alone with my thoughts. But it's like, what's so bad in there? I don't really know. I think someone said it. I was listening to Mulaney on Conan's podcast, and he was saying that. Conan, like he's like the real Conan, you're like a mean person. And I think one of Conan's, his assistant, Sona was saying, yeah, Conan's actually mean. People don't know this about him. And John was saying, yeah, all comedians are like kind of pieces of shit. Like when I don't think we all are. I think I'm a fairly
Conan
nice person.
Conan is the nicest guy I've ever met.
So nice.
What the fuck are they what are they talking about?
But you know what I'm saying? What he's talking about is John said that when he went on his show to do stand up early on in his career, and Conan would talk shit about the other guests being duds. And he really appreciated that Conan's a shit talker. What I think he means is like, I guess what I am getting at is that I secretly think I'm a piece of shit. Like I always think like someone's gonna find out that I'm really a sociopath and I'm really like selfish and a bad person. I think that's my biggest fear in life. Do you have that? Or do you know you're a good person?
I think I'm okay. I don't know. I don't really know what you're talking about.
What I'm talking about is, I, I think my biggest fear is a sociopath? Yeah, like my biggest fear. I think why I'm in therapy is trying to...
A sociopath never thinks that. A sociopath is just like, how can I fucking eat their skin? How can I control them?
I'd go
them?
A step further, Eric, Everything and say that fine. The fact that I'm saying I'm worried I'm a sociopath is my sociopathic brain trying to mislead people into thinking I'm not one by saying that or something.
You're totally fine. You're not a sociopath.
Yeah, but okay, then I guess there's no point in me being in there sometimes. I wonder what I'm even trying to figure out. Comedians do have a dark streak.
I think that's what you're saying.
Well, John was also referencing...
I don't think you can make a broad generalization. I think some comedians do and some comedians don't, but they're like, it's hard to make a broad generalization.
Do you have the stock answer for why you're a comedian lined up? Like what the formative thing in your life is that made you one?
I think Fran Lebowitz said the best quote. She goes, talent is just the universe throwing random sprinkles across humanity. And it's just like, you're good at basketball, you're good at ballet, you're good at piano, you're good at comedy.
Right.
I can be like, oh, I can pathologize everything. Oh, my dad didn't hug me enough and all that shit. But there's people who are depressed and anxious and their dad didn't hug them enough and they're not funny at all.
Yeah,
totally.
They're not funny at all. I just did Neil Brennan's podcast and he actually said John Mulaney, who you just brought up, said the same thing. People are like, oh, you're depressive. That's why you're a comedian. He goes, I know depressed people who aren't funny at all.
Totally.
Mulaney said that. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's more the Fran Lebowitz thing where like talent is just like random sprinkles thrown across humanity.
Yeah.
I think it's just the
you're
whatever
speaking
makes
Nikki's
up
language
our
right
brain.
Now.
Yeah.
I don't like
making everything bad. Oh God, it's because I, you know, my mom never fucking took me to my quinceañera or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, but I do think it's random sprinkles, but the randomness for which you receive this urge to want to make people like you on stage.
Yes. There's, I would say stand-up.
That's a random sprinkle that you got.
Yeah,
you got a sprinkle of wanting to be
there's,
liked.
There's plenty of people that want to be liked. Everyone wants to be liked. That is human need. You want to be loved.
Oh, yeah.
Every human on earth wants to be loved, unless it's like fucking Jeffrey Dahmer.
But they don't want it as much as we do. Because they would have found some way to get it like we do all the time doing a podcast every fucking day.
Maybe they do and they're just not good at comedy. I think we do want the validation of strangers. Stand-up is insane. It's like it's super anxiety provoking and stressful. And I have been like shaking in my boots backstage before I go on. Last night I was shaking in my boots before I went on stage. And it is insane that we do it, but I don't think, what's the term, causation without correlation? I don't think like, oh, we want to be loved by strangers and that's why we're good at comedy. It's like, everybody wants to be loved. I don't know if everybody wants in what amount or how to measure that amount,
but some people are satisfied by the love that they get from a couple, like, people in their lives close to them on the daily, on their dog on the couch that like satisfies them enough that they don't need to get it elsewhere.
I don't like
any comedians who like go, oh my God, I'm so depressed and so interesting and my parents didn't love me enough. I don't like to pathologize it that way either, but I do think that there is let me ask you this. When someone's mad at you, are you able to handle that?
No.
I'm a mess.
I need them to like me, and then I'm like, I'm stewing on it forever.
Even if you're right. Like, let's talk about something.
It depends. Okay. On the person and the situation. It's like, if it's like road rage, somebody cuts me off, he's like, fuck you, pal. I'm like, fuck you. You know, like, I'm not so invested in that, but it comes up in weird ways. I really need a bartender to like me. That's gotta be like the alcohol making me depressed
cool.
or something.
Yeah.
Like I really, really need the bartender to like me for some reason.
Yeah.
If the bartender doesn't like me or they're having a bad day, it's really
hard. They're cool and they have authority and they have the power to give you something you want.
Yeah,
they are so cool, and they can just totally ignore you so effortlessly. Mm. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's no one to go. There's no manager to go talk to. They're the end all be all.
Yes.
And they have the peripheral vision of someone working at a Delta desk too, where they can just pretend like they don't see you, and you're right there. It is that getting them to like you is something that I don't drink anymore, but I really relate to that when I used to.
When did you stop drinking?
I was 27, so a couple of years ago. No, 10 years ago. Now it's been 2011. So whenever that was, 12
just
years.
Were you just drinking too much, or were you just?
Yeah,
like,
I was like blacking out every time. You know, like to quote Mulaney again, he had this joke that really resonated with me, where it was like he was blackout after like two drinks, and his doctor said, "Yeah, your brain just is like, we know where this is going. Let's close down early." And so my brain just like knew this girl isn't going to stop. We know where this is headed. And it was just getting embarrassing. But the real reason was the next day retelling stories to people and them going, "Nikki, you told me this last night." And I wasn't like a sloppy drunk. At least I didn't think so, because people would say, "But you weren't drunk when you told me this. Like, this is crazy." And then so, Eric, I just started not telling people stories because I was so scared of having someone go, "You told me this last night." So it was just embarrassing. And I kind of was at a point in my career where I was like, "Oh, this is like, I got a pilot at MTV. This is my first chance to like make it. And I don't want the reason I don't to be like, I was hungover or whatever." So I stopped. Right, and then, I struggled.
Were you drinking every night?
Oh, yeah, every night, because you do sets every night. And that's how you hang out.
Are you from St. Louis?
I'm from St. Louis. Yeah, yeah. Grew up here since I was 6.
So is that like a St. Louis thing? Like, you drink every night, then you go to the steel mill and you work on
race cars. But you know, I left St. Louis as soon as I graduated high school, and then I never came back until COVID. So it wasn't like I grew up drinking St. Louis. I think it was just like
a comedy club thing. What are you doing out there? When are you going to come back?
I'll probably come back when I get a show, or when, I'll get a place there. I'm nomadic, so I'll keep a place here and I'll come back there, and I'll come back for your 41st birthday.
It's dangerous. It's fucking too dangerous out there.
What are you going to do for these birthdays? Let me just ask you about this. The burden of your birthday every fucking year. Like, do you now feel like, "Oh, I got to have a party," or do you look forward to it? Is there, as you're getting older, is your like tolerance for partying, is it becoming harder to, you know, get it up to last all night and have camels and fucking flamethrowers?
Yeah, I was trying to make it till like the sun rose. Sun rose.
Yeah,
I was trying to make it a sunrise this last birthday, and like 3:30 a.m. rolled around, and I snuck out of my own birthday.
Damn.
Got an Uber. I'm sure no one noticed. I went to bed.
Yeah. Okay, so you didn't have it at your house.
I even texted my friend. I lied to my friend. I was like, "Oh, I'm going to the after party." I think my friend caught me like trying to leave. And I was like, "Oh, I'm taking the Uber to the after party." They were like, "Where is it?" I was like, "Save yourself. I don't know." And I just like went home and went to bed.
Well, is this a part of you that like you feel like you got to keep up? Like, is it like, you know, I always think about Bert Kreischer with taking his shirt off on stage. And at some point he's like, "God, do I have
like
to do this the rest of my
animal
like,
party persona?"
Yeah, and I'm sure people have asked you about this before.
No, because I always scream from the mountaintops that I'm like a boring suburban nerd, and I'm in bed at like 10:30 p.m. every night.
Because you are. You're like, you have that side to yourself, but
yeah, that's like the id, you know, I access like the fun childlike parts of my
brain. You're not doing it out of pressure.
No, I'm doing it out of like real joy.
Oh, wait, when
I'm
we
so
are talking
envious
about
of that.
You getting like,
I don't have joy.
Wanting people to be, I know Anya's just like, "Joy, what's that?" Marriage is all she knows. When you get like, when you feel like you're scared of people being mad at you, how can you do pranks then? Like, is that a different part of your brain? Do you shut it out?
Nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense.
Yeah, you're
because
full,
I suffer from anxiety.
Yeah.
Yet I do pranks until people have pulled out knives on me.
Yeah.
Like, I was pranking a guy that had like a loaded gun on him.
Oh,
so like,
Jesus Christ.
I'll put myself in these like extreme anxiety provoking situations. But like, I hear the slightest creak at night when I'm home alone, and I'm like, "Is that a burglar?" And it's like an acorn falling on my roof. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't make any sense.
What do you treat yourself to? Like, what's like, you know, Eric Andre, since
fondue.
He's made it, like, really?
No.
What do I treat myself? That does seem like like the classic.
I mean, I love fondue. Sure. I haven't had it since I was a little kid, but it's good. the big vacation was a big,
treat. Was it luxury? Like, do you stay at the nicest places? Do you
I did
treat yourself
all,
well?
The entire spectrum. I would do like the real posh place, and then I would like sleep on a floor at my friend's house in Paris. Just a hashtag stay humble, y'all.
Yeah, you gotta. And
no, because I was running out of money, and my business manager was like, "What are you doing?" And then SAG went on strike when I was out right. there, and I had to like cancel my Comic-Con gig that was like a big payday, and I was going to do a movie, and I had to cancel this. So I was like, shit.
Yeah. Are you a big spender? Like, is that like a problem for you ever? Sorry to.
Nah, not until recently. I'm trying to do the bi-coastal thing and like mm-hmm. do LA and New York, and that's like a very expensive venture. And then everybody went on strike, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh.
And
shit.
Then you're getting back out on the road.
Yeah, that's why I'm like playing Possum Ridge, Arkansas.
Coyote
Bladder, Mississippi.
Boring question alert. Anya, make the noise. do you enjoy the road?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Do you bring friends?
Yeah, that is a big
essential
big part of surviving it.
Yeah,
because like I have done it where I'm just alone, and you're in like Des Moines for yes. like 5 days in a La Quinta.
Dude, like, that's just that, I've like, stayed at that La Quinta.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And you're like, you are just like, there's something sad about like I'm just like a single guy in a La Quinta in Des Moines. Like during the day, I'm just like sitting with my Jimmy John's sub and my salt and vinegar chips.
I have so many Jimmy John's.
Refreshing my
on the road.
Email. That's like not. You know, yes. I'm like, what am I doing? Who mm-hmm. am I? Mm-hmm. It's something really depressing about that. So yeah, if I can bring friends on a tour, I do. And then
and do you get nervous before shows? Like, is it not a fun experience for you in terms of like anxiety, or is there a streak that you hit after you feel like you've got it back, you know, where you're like, okay, I don't have to like, are you pacing around backstage, or are you someone who can like
yeah.
kind of just
yeah
enjoy?
It depends on the night. Like last night I was pacing. I got real nervous mm-hmm. before and it came out of nowhere. It was like I was totally fine all day. Fuck. And then I got real nervous right before I went on, and then the show was great. It's a little bit like psychedelics. Like you're real nervous before you take psychedelics, and even when they kick in you're like, oh, should I have done that? And then you're like, fuck, that was a mistake. And then you kind of cross over to the other side, and then you're like, oh, this is the best decision I fucking ever made. Like,
I mean, being on stage is a wild thing that not many of our listeners probably relate to, but the fact that I'm never sure that if it's going to go well, I don't really get nervous anymore, and I should, because things don't go well a lot of times and I don't really have a plan. And I think being nervous gives you kind of a moment to come up with a plan and to actually focus. And I think I distract myself all day so that I don't have to think about what could go wrong. So I'll be in like a conversation right until they call my name, and then I'll go, I'll finish that thought right now. And then I walk up on stage, and people are always like, how does she do it? She can have this conversation. It doesn't seem, she doesn't have to meditate before. And it's like, no, I'm fighting the fear that I feel constantly about what I'm about to do. Because if I think about it too much, it freaks me out. But yeah. I will say about bombing, like, the most interesting thing that happens to me when I'm bombing is that the flop sweat happens instantly, but it happens. Mm-hmm. This has happened to me my whole life. I feel a trickle of a bead of sweat start on my lower back, and then it forms almost immediately when the bomb starts. Like when it starts to just like the audience does not connect with me and they're questioning me and they're worried about me. The bead of sweat starts. And then I have until the bead of sweat hits my ass crack. That's the time I have to save it and to turn around. But if it hits my ass crack, that means I'll be crying off the stage. It's always that way. It's immediate. It's crazy how it forms so quickly. And I remember figuring this out probably when I just started, like a year in, and I was like, there's always that bead of sweat. Thank God it doesn't happen on my brow. I'm not like wiping it, but it's right back there. And just recently that same thing happened, and I had to just fight for not to hit my ass crack. And then I can dig out of it. It feels so good though when you are able to gain the trust back from the audience, because the bomb is happening because they are worried that you're about to crash the plane and that you don't know how to fly and that they got a bad pilot.
Are there any tips for, or have you guys found, as comedians, have you found ways of getting out of that tailspin or nosedive that work? Like general tips?
Testing new material is much harder than like relying on old material. So if it's like you're testing new material, sometimes you just have to bomb and to figure it
also
out.
Also just acknowledge but if it. You're doing acknowledge what's happening.
Yeah, acknowledge it. Be like, totally. Well, that sucked or whatever. Yeah, do your little,
it's, that sometimes
do a little
kills
crowd
harder.
Work.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes that kills harder than any joke you've ever written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just addressing it.
Or do a little crowd work to get your sea legs back. But don't, this is what I've learned. when I start bombing, I kind of start disassociating and looking up above their heads because it's like I subconsciously to consciously like, I don't want to be here anymore. What a comic told me a long time ago, they're like, don't lean back and look up, like lean in and make keep making eye contact with them. Keep connecting with them and making eye contact and shove those jokes down their fucking throat.
Don't give up.
Don't give up, because if they see you getting like a little weak in the knees, they're going to feel stressed out and nervous. So
that's
so
a just really like, good tip.
So keep making eye contact with them and lean in, like physically lean your head forward and into their faces. Just to like stay connected to them and stay in the room. Don't disassociate. Stay present.
Lean into it. Like try to make more of a connection when everything in your body is telling you to get the fuck out and to flee. Yeah. Do the opposite. That's actually a really good advice.
Eric. Helps. And then you can just start riffing and doing crowd work to kind of get your shimmy back
just
and then
get
you
them
can
back.
Go back to
the, yeah, I usually just start shitting on myself and doing almost the Gaffigan style, like what they're thinking. Like, man, she's funnier on YouTube. I wish she would just do her roast jokes. Like, I paid this much money for this. We have a babysitter at home. Like, I just start
that
trying
works.
To, you know, you just tell
works.
Them what,
all
yeah,
works.
All of it. There's tricks to get out of it, but man, it's an uncomfortable feeling. I'm going to let you go because you're leaving. Like,
is
we
your microphone strawberry flavored?
Oh, I should not have done that. Eric?
Yes, yes, yes. Ice cream's so good.
You. I
oh
love
my
those.
God. I've seen that.
Hypnotic.
Eric, I just want to leave you with this. That actually licking this microphone, which is disgusting, reminds me of something that happened one time when I was, it was. We first both like popped on the scene. It was like 2013. I was doing the red carpet at the MTV VMAs and you were on the red carpet as well. And I was so excited to see someone that I recognized that was my friend. It was like, oh, thank God you came through and you kissed me on the lips. And I was just like, it was really a funny moment. And then, I realized, and I saw.
Are you canceling
from you
me? Are you canceling me live?
No, it was.
I wanted it, Joel, and that's why she. Brought
I absolutely
you
wanted it. But
you were asking for it.
I was wearing a dress, and so right before that, though, I saw later in the evening you had like puked on the. And then you like we like tongue kissed, and it was just one of those. It was a perfect Eric Andre moment. I love you so much.
Amazing.
Thank you for doing this podcast. Thank you for.
Thank you.
I'll do yours if you want to have me bombing with
I
Eric Andre.
I thought you were doing mine today. I'm like
so
super confused.
Funny.
You're like we're starting in 5, 4, 3. I was like, no, I say that.
Well, I'll do yours next. I can't wait. Bombing
Thank
with
you.
Eric Andre. Check it out, Big Money Players Network. Thank you, Eric Andre. Have fun in Peru.
Thank you, Nikki Glaser. Appreciate it.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, we're back from break. That was really fun with Eric Andre. Did everyone enjoy it?
Yes.
I didn't get to tell him about so the time he was at my house.
I know, that compelling
story. One story that I had.
Can we hear it?
Wait, did you tell that on the air?
No.
Brian,
no,
did you tell that on the air? No. Okay, let me just tell our listeners.
I don't think
when
so.
When we found out Eric Andre was coming on the show, Brian was very excited. He goes, I actually have an Eric Andre story to tell. And I was like, great. Oh my God, this will be amazing. And we were like, what is it? So will you tell the story, that the amazing Eric Andre story?
One time I was at my old apartment and I look out the window and in my own backyard is Eric Andre. And I yell to my girlfriend, Allie. I go, look who's out there. And she goes, is that Eric Andre? And I go, yeah, Eric Andre is in our yard.
And then what happened?
That's it.
He trapped an armadillo or a raccoon.
Maybe that's why it didn't come up on the show. No.
But
I actually meant to bring it up.
Be interesting to be like, well, isn't it interesting that you were in my yard and why were you there and what were you doing there? And isn't it crazy how the world's connected?
I did mean to bring it up. It never did come up.
But I'm guessing. Moment.
What if he trips on ayahuasca and all of a sudden he connects where he remembers Brian from? He remembers seeing.
Well, he wouldn't remember
me
because he didn't see me.
He didn't see
I only
him.
Saw him out the window. He was out there doing
Maybe
his own thing.
Maybe he saw you in the window.
There's no, not a
what
chance.
What are the odds Eric Andre would have any recollection of that day? Do you
That's
guys
what
think?
I'm curious about.
I don't think he's going to remember this podcast.
He didn't remember kissing Nikki Glaser after vomiting on a red carpet.
Eric Andre has led such an illustrious, insane life. That's why I really am like, you know, I do a lot of shit talking about celebrities who suck and who, you know, but I also praise people who have just been cool. And Eric Andre is just a person that has never needed to be cool to me. But you can tell, like he just said, he takes like 5 days before his birthday to message everyone individually. I knew that would take him so long to do. Because every time I get a text, I go, we have not texted since the last time you invited me to this birthday party. It's amazing that you, that's why I keep my old number.
Yeah.
I get like a million texts a day. I think my number's for sale online because I just have people texting me, hi, Nikki, with like a winky emoji.
Oh, sure.
And I'm like, you paid $10 to do this. I'm blocking you right now. This is pointless. But I because of things like that, I would be so sad if I missed out on an opportunity to get an invite to. And someday I'll go to that party and I'll bring you all with me. But
he's a sweet, genuine, real
he's
warm
such
guy.
A sweetie,
yeah, you want to hang out with them. I was thinking, like, I know two girls that he would be like BFF with that are. I don't know about dating, but like for sure, he seemed. You know, Alana Glazer from Broad City.
Yes.
Like, I bet you, like. They just seem like they would be best friends. Like, they seem simpatico.
Totally.
Completely.
I agree. Yeah.
And I love her, and he seems like a doll.
Yeah, he's just one of the real ones, and I just want nothing but the best for that kid. But I love how he's like, he has no idea I was in St. Louis, and now he's like, you got to get out of there. Everyone wants me to leave here so desperately. And I'm, you know, I'm not like staying here forever, even though I was today just honored by Explore St. Louis, which is a company that does promotional stuff for, you know, to bring tourism to St. Louis. And I was asked to do this thing. It was supposed to happen tomorrow, and I'm going to be in Chicago tomorrow. We're recording this a week early, so I was in Chicago last week. They're supposed to have it on that day, and they were like, can you shoot a video for us? And then they said, oh, actually, we're doing it Thursday. And I was like, I'm actually in town. So I went to this thing at 11 o'clock today. It went till 1:30. It was honoring all like people in St. Louis who like, you know, help tourism in St. Louis. This big, huge event. My brother-in-law and my mom went. We got like a free luncheon. And I had to give a little speech. I fucking killed.
Nice.
Because it was really otherwise a very dull,
affair.
A dull affair.
Tourism's going down. It's going down.
But I had some good lines that my brother-in-law and my boyfriend helped me with. Yeah, I said, I'm so glad we had such a good year for tourism in St. Louis, despite the fact that Taylor Swift didn't come here. I was like, but we did get Hoobastank, and that helped immensely. I just did a classic Hoobastank line, sure. Just threw them under the bus. They're the new Nickelback, or maybe the Nickelback was them. And then I said, there was this one thing, like, there's this video that throughout the show, like, throughout the awards, this they played this video and it kept like popping up accidentally, and then they tossed to it and go, oh wait, we already played the marketing video. So right before my speech, I was like, before I speak, I'd like to toss to the marketing video again. And I go, oh wait, we've already seen it 9 times. So that did well. And then I was also honored with Jackie Joyner Kersee for like our celebrity status of bringing attention to St. Louis. It was really a lovely thing to receive, because all I've ever wanted is to be acknowledged by, you know, the people I went to high school, you know, like you want to, the reason a lot of people get famous is this deep desire for all the people that didn't think you had it in you to like be successful, like hometown success, like Garden State. You want to go back and everyone to like love you. And I've always felt that from St. Louis, but there's no reason. St. Louis is a pretty conservative town in terms of like sense of humor or like entertainment. It's wholesome. It's about the Cardinals. It's about sports. It's about Catholicism. Mm-hmm. So for them to embrace me, a dirty comedian who has made my money talking about my vagina and doing roast jokes that people would never even can imagine anyone would ever say, is pretty lovely of this town, and shows kind of like the progress it's made. And it just make it warms my heart. So it was me and Jackie Joyner Kersee were the two celebrities there.
Amazing.
And I said it was such an honor to share a table with her and share, be at this lunch with her. And I have to say that, you know, but I want to say I did eat faster than her. You know, she's, and then final thought,
4 minute salad.
I said, what was the other thing I said? I said that, you know, because of Explore St. Louis, this, you know, brand, they got me to be able to sing the national anthem at the Thanksgiving Day parade. And I was able to throw the first pitch at the Cardinals game. And I was like, you know, I thought they wanted people to come to St. Louis. Because of those two events, thousands fled. And then they also, I got to watch Diana DeGarmo and Ace Young, two American Idol finalists, performed and opened the show with a whole song. Like, you know that song that's like, and the sunshine, and the sunshine, the sun, whatever. So they sang that. They were amazing. So they opened the event with this like Broadway tune. And then my mom, at one point they were like, everyone sing with us. And the sunshine. And we're all singing. And they see my mom singing. Ace Young, this like hot American Idol guy, sees my mom singing. And he's like, I'm coming to you. You're going to sing with me. And so my mom goes, oh God, no. And he came up and he put the mic in her face and they sang together. And that was exciting. And then they, at the end of it, they gave like their story about them being a couple and how they didn't meet on American Idol, but they met on Broadway and they fell in love and they've been married for 10 years and all this, or they've been together for 10 years, married however long. And I just whispered in Chris's ear, because they're both like performers and they're both like singing. Like, I don't know. I just was like, imagine how fucking toxic this relationship is. Like, I just quietly, because I just picture these two Broadway, like, I'm a star. No, I'm a star. And they're both like fighting with their vibratos. And I just pictured like, this has got to be fucking nuts, you know? And then Chris leaves the presentation early, right? And I've been like snarky little, like, imagine how toxic their relationship is. He leaves early because he has to go to something. And he goes, look what I just witnessed. They walked the whole way this way, hand in hand, walking out. And walked down this giant hallway down like they had like a mile walk that Chris walked with them back to the like the parking structure, and they held hands the entire time. So I had them so wrong. Not that that's a sign that everything's okay, but you can't do that if you're in a toxic relationship. You do not hold hands the entire time as a young couple that's been together for 10 years. So I'm sorry I ever questioned your love, Diana DeGarmo and Ace Young. You were amazing today at the show. You like it was the best part of the whole show. Not to, you know, I don't think anyone would be hurt by me saying that. It was just so, but it was just funny for me to be like, they're so toxic. And then they're like holding hands the whole time. And
that's your dream.
Yeah. To like sing and then not hold hands. Cause Chris goes, they held hands longer in that walk than we have our entire relationship. And I'm like, I'm glad you acknowledge it too. But like, we both are not hand holders. And I've said this on the show. Like
that.
I want to, it's like me with hiking. Like I don't want to, but I wanna be someone who does it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I want to want to. So, it was really cute and had a lovely little day. And today is my brother-in-law's birthday and he came with us too. And he's one of my favorite people in the world. And so I'm going over to celebrate his birthday right now with my family. I wanted to get the niece and nephews some presents because whenever I show up, and I haven't seen them for 2 months because I was in LA. And so this will be my first time seeing them. So I asked my sister, like, what do the kids want? And she, and Forrest is 1.5 and the other kids are like 5 and 6, right? And so I was like, she goes, Poppy's into princess stuff. Arlo is obsessed with Halloween decorations. Oh. And Forrest is really into trucks. And I was like, I'm not getting Forrest a gift. He's not going to remember. Like, I get gifts to get, it was funny for that she told me Forrest. I like forget about Forrest. Yeah. For like conscious beings. No. But, so I went to Target yesterday and got Forrest a truck and I got Poppy, a princess thing. And then I went to the Halloween section. Cause I was like, this is awesome that like Arlo doesn't want just like a classic boy toy. Like he wants some fucked up Halloween, like the weirder, the better. So I got him this gigantic life-size skeleton, but it's a pumpkin skeleton. It's and I'm so excited. I put it in the trunk like a dead body. And I'm going to ask him, I'm going to be like, Arlo, I forgot to get you a gift. Or did I? Let's go check the trunk of grandma's car. Cause I drive my mom's car. So we'll go out there and I can't wait for him to pop it open. And it's going to be wearing this hoodie that I also got him that has a skeleton hoodie. And I'm so excited that he likes fucked up things.
He's really into death.
Yeah, he's into death and morbidity. And
what a good aunt
he's
going
to be. I can't wait to bring him to Columbine.
he's
going to
love it.
It's good. I'll film his reaction for the podcast Insta. But we got to go. Thank you to Eric Andre. Thank you to Diana DeGarmo and Ace John. And your everlasting love. We'll see you tomorrow on the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Don't be cut. And just go into ayahuasca with no intentions, man.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.